It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. 2024 saw a record number of offices converted into housing space around the country.
The ongoing housing crisis and an increase in people working from home has sparked developers and cities to get creative in how they use existing buildings.
That trend has touched Wisconsin's biggest city with a number of projects underway to convert office buildings into homes. Tom Dakin has been following the trend as he covers development at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I've been seeing, you know, this trend, this idea of, hey, we've got these commercial buildings, we can convert them to residential going on around the country. I was scrolling through articles with your byline, Tom. Seems like there's a lot of this kind of action going on in the Milwaukee area. How much is this happening?
Well, Milwaukee's actually been doing this for quite a while. I would say going back, at least 15 years or so with some of our older downtown historic buildings, office buildings that were really obsolete for today's modern office users. And developers were acquiring those buildings and then converting them to apartments. Some of this being fueled by being able to obtain federal and state historic preservation tax credits. And those are basically a way to recover your costs, a certain percentage of your costs as a developer, as long as that building is renovated according to some very high standards set by the National Park Service that runs that program. Now, more lately, I think it's picked up notice because of two things. Number one, demand for office space has dropped. That's post-COVID, where more employers have embraced, if not flat-out remote working, certainly giving their employees flexibility from time to time or maybe on a regular basis to work remotely. And that's been coupled with strong demand for housing, particularly more affordable rental housing, which is at a premium, not just in Milwaukee, but practically every city in the United States, it seems. So naturally, if you have some office buildings that are underused, the operators of those buildings would perhaps look at redeveloping them. Or in the case of 100 East, some entrepreneurial developers like Johnny Vassallo and his partners come along and they buy the building and proceed with plans to convert it to apartments.
On the office space demand side of things, Tom, you know, we see some cities around the country where a few years back, it looked like there were ghost towns, right? There's so little action going on in some of these office buildings. Has it been that extreme in Milwaukee in the COVID, post-COVID era?
No, it really hasn't. Actually, Milwaukee has fared, and I'm not sure how much people are aware of this. I've written about it. Some of my counterparts have written about it. But Milwaukee has actually fared pretty well. And I think for a couple of fundamental reasons. Number one, we never overbuilt our office market downtown as much as maybe other cities did. And number two, I think we've done a better job of having a mix of both daytime uses downtown, such as office, and what are sometimes called nighttime uses, residential. And as a result, coming back out of COVID, I think we've had a quicker recovery compared to, say, Chicago, Minneapolis, and some other cities.
On the demand side of things for residential now, again, communities all over the state having trouble with affordable rentals and housing units for sale. Give us a sense of the rental market in Milwaukee. How much demand is there?
Well, demand is high, but the conundrum is that for developers, because of interest rates also being high, that makes it more expensive to borrow money. That's obviously one of your chief expenses when you're building anything. That, along with some inflated construction costs for both material and labor, it's made it difficult for a lot of developers to build anything other than on one end of the spectrum, obtaining tax credits, federal tax credits to develop affordable housing, where if you get those tax credits, great, but you have to restrict those units to certain below market rents for people earning typically up to 60 or maybe even 80% of the median income. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end is kind of the high-end luxury market, which last year in downtown Milwaukee, we had two high-rises open that at this point now, those are probably about half full. So there's some some questions as to how strong the market is to continue to do that type of housing. And then, of course, in between, you have this segment of the market, sometimes referred to as workforce housing. Mm-hmm. There's no official definition of that, but I think from the city of Milwaukee's perspective, that would be apartments aimed at people earning up to the median income. So if you earn right at the median income or perhaps slightly below or slightly above, you would fall into the category of workforce housing. And I'm sure John Vassallo will talk about this more at length than I can, but part of the city financing agreement that was just reached to help pay for the 100 East conversion, which still has to undergo our common council review, that was done in part with the developers agreeing to set aside, I believe it's 75 of those units, of nearly 400 units, at below market rents for people falling into that workforce housing category.
Tom, do you get a sense that people in the business community and in you know, city government see this missing middle zone, that workforce housing you were talking about, as a problem, right? Something that could limit economic development if businesses want to hire people, but they can't live anywhere near where they work?
Yeah, very, very clearly. I mean, if you want to develop your workforce, there are a couple of basic rules. Number one, make sure they have housing. On a completely different topic, number two, maybe don't deport them if they haven't committed any crimes. That's another show for another day. And yeah, on the former point, I think the city of Milwaukee is now taking steps to tackle that. A little slow than the slower pace that the developers would prefer, but they're doing it now. Similar to what some other communities have been doing. I wrote a story back around Memorial Day weekend that looked at two other Midwestern cities, Green Bay and the Des Moines, Iowa, that have been kind of pursuing this path as well, and some of the things they've been doing that perhaps Milwaukee would try and emulate.
Now, you mentioned those high interest rates being a limiting factor. Well, if I'm a developer, I got to deal with that whether I'm doing new construction or renovating an existing building. Do you have a sense of, like, when people are evaluating putting up new housing or rehabbing an old office building, which looks better economically?
Well, on the rehabbing side, what can really help with making the economics, again, Johnny can talk to this in much more detail than I can, is obtaining those historic preservation tax credits. And there's a real interesting story about 100 East, where that building is only about 35 years old. And most buildings that are designated as historic in order to obtain those preservation tax credits, kind of the rule of thumb is, well, you got to be 50 years old or older. But that's not a hard and fast rule, and there have been exceptions. And Johnny and his partners pursued that status. It was initially denied by the state board that oversees these things because some of the folks on the board were raising questions of essentially, well, gee, it's only 35 years old. Why should we make an exception? And they came back and made a stronger, more detailed case the second time around, and they got that approval. And in a nutshell, the case being made was, look, it's only 35 years old, but for the postmodern architectural style, this is a really, really good example. And for your listeners who are familiar with this building, it's right in the heart of downtown. It has these interesting exterior accoutrements, archways that are sort of designed to both emulate City Hall, which is not that far away, as well as the building that used to be there, which was called, I think it was called the Pabst Building. It was an office building that was built in the late 19th century and then eventually torn down. And that's a big key for the developers to be able to get those tax credits to help defray some of their costs. That I think really helps make the finances work. And now more lately, you're getting the city involved with the tax incremental financing district. And basically what that does is it takes a portion of the property tax revenue that wouldn't otherwise exist that's generated by this new development. And it uses that to help pay for part of the cost of converting the underused, nearly unused office building into nearly 400 apartments.
Now, Tom, as we wrap up with you, you mentioned, you know, we don't have this bumper crop of vacant commercial buildings in Milwaukee like some cities around the country do. Is there enough in projects like the ones we're talking about to put a dent in the demand for residential, that workplace housing we were talking about?
Well, from my perspective, as someone who covers development, I think you just need more housing, particularly affordable housing. And whether that comes in the forms of converting a building like 100 East into apartments, or whether it comes from building from the ground up, do both. We just had a very contentious debate a few days ago. This is being taped on July 10th, but it was in front of our Common Council Zoning Committee about a new project that will build around 200 affordable apartments over on the far northwest side of Milwaukee near the former Northridge Mall. And it was narrowly approved, recommended for approval by our Zoning Committee. It has to go before the full Common Council on July 15th. And again, the advocates for that project are saying, look, we appreciate some of the concerns the neighbors have. They don't like the loss of some wooded area that's going to occur, among other things. But we need more housing, period. Something that I think everyone agrees on. And God, it's a basic element of the law of supply and demand. If you want to try and mitigate against cost increase of any product, including housing, increase your supply.
Tom, thanks again for joining us today.
You bet. Enjoyed it.
That's Tom Dakin. He covers commercial development for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll get a firsthand look now with Johnny Vassallo, developer working on converting that Milwaukee office building we've been talking about into housing. Johnny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, glad to be here. Tom did a great job. Really insightful.
He's a good reporter. I like talking to him. Now, Johnny, you are working on this 100 East office tower project that Tom was just talking about. What attracted you and your partners to this to say, yes, this is an office building that has potential for a residential conversion?
Hey, I love Milwaukee and I love what's happening downtown Milwaukee. So always looking. We have Moses Place for Steaks right across the river there. So I noticed that they had a group out of California that was struggling and Michael Best was going to leave to what Tom kind of referenced, you know, super class A new office is really in vogue. And when Hunter Lease lost their main tenant, Michael Best and Friedrich, the building went into receivership and we started pursuing it there.
What's the starting point for saying, hey, we're going to do this redevelopment? It's a big building. A lot goes into it. What is the starting point to turn that from a notion into reality?
I think understanding the market and being local. I mean, we're here and Milwaukee is a dynamic community with probably by percentage some of the largest amounts of residential downtown, which makes it very vibrant. And it's attracting, in my opinion, a lot of corporate headquarters here. So the newer buildings are getting full. We do need more housing all the way across Milwaukee. So we looked at it and just started underwriting it. We were able to acquire the building and attracted some capital here to do that and got the bank set up and then teamed up with the Kleins, who have a great history of putting deals like this together. And we have the experience of in 15 and 16, we did a historical rehab that also involved TIF. Of the Posner building, which became MKE Lofts.
Now, I know back, especially in the early days of COVID, when we had some cities around the country with those vacant office buildings, and it sounded like an easy solution to turn office buildings into residential. But on a physical level, the plumbing, the HVAC for office buildings is just laid out differently than residential. How big of a challenge is that? What kind of things do you have to do to convert those systems, those functions into a place where people are living?
Yeah, from the outside, it always seems easy, right? You already have the building. So it's like, oh, this should be really easy, right? We'll just make it into apartments. But it's really complicated, you know, the ceiling heights, the floor plates, how the elevators are located, how you're going to run plumbing. So you need a very sophisticated team and you need the right building. And then you need to work with people who have done this before. I don't think that, you know, without the Kleins helping and teaming up with, you know, with all of us being a team, and then hiring the right professionals, we're really lucky to have some very sophisticated subcontractors here in the city of Milwaukee that have done some of this work. So it definitely takes a complex team and some good leadership. We have Oxlin helping us, total comfort has been extremely helpful. And then obviously the Kleins and SCB Architects have just done a tremendous job working on the complexities of, you know, making all these things happen, having the right amenities. Like I said, getting the elevators to work right, getting the plumbing in the right places. So super complex.
Johnny, I want to talk about this building and the historical designation here. Am I a little offended that a building younger than I am is being called historical? Maybe, but talk about the historical significance of the 100 East office tower and the look that you're going to be preserving.
Well, I think that, you know, something I'm super passionate about and excited about is my uncle was running DCD when this building was built, and he was very aggressive with how that building was going to look and that it would reflect the historical significance of that corner. So first trading post in the city of Milwaukee, and then, you know, the Pabst building was there, and it was very historic, and the developers tore it down. And when they were allowed to rebuild it, it had to have a lot of postmodern, significant historical attributes. And so the building is one of a kind. It, to me, it's the prettiest building in the city. I've been looking at it for over 40 years. I'm much older than that, but since I was in high school, it's been there. And so I think it started in 2006. I know Tom said 35 years. We'd lean that it's closer to 40 years, but the beauty, the adaptation to, as he suggested, City Hall and the old Pabst building, I think really makes it a star of the downtown district.
Johnny, I want to wrap up by asking about the timeline. This doesn't sound like something that is going to happen fast. When, if things all go well, when would people be renting these units?
We'd like to see if we can get through the Common Council and get this TIF passed in the next, you know, 30 to 60 days. We'd like to see, you know, demo and construction start, you know, Q4, and then be renting 2 years from now, and hopefully fully rented in less than 4 years. So it'll be an asset to Milwaukee in very short order, and we look forward to having, you know, 500 or 600 new Milwaukeeans or Milwaukeeans that are here already looking to upgrade, living downtown. Very exciting.
And we'll leave it there. Johnny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Johnny Vassallo is a Milwaukee commercial real estate developer and restaurateur. He is one of the partners redeveloping the 35-story 100 East office tower in Milwaukee to have more than 350 apartments in it. Earlier, we heard from Tom Dakin, who reports on commercial development for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, wherever you are in the state, have you seen this happen, taking a building for commercial or maybe even industrial use in the past and turning it into residential? Maybe it's a big building like the one we've been talking about, maybe something smaller. We'd love to hear what you are seeing in your community. If you think there's room for more of this kind of thing, you could email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.